Thinking about this morning, I know how dangerous it is to stand between a large group of people and a feast, especially when you can smell it. And not only to stand there, but to preach a sermon. But I promise you, what we have to look at in God's Word today is so important. And I pray it blesses His heart. I pray it blesses your heart. And I got to warn you, today's service is going to be a little different than some. It's going to be a little more interactive. There are going to be some times in this service where you can quietly pray to the Lord, just you and Him. There are also going to be some times where we do some responsive readings from God's Word. I'm going to read the turquoise parts up here, and I'm going to ask you to read the white parts with Pastor Aaron. Okay, and I want you to do that with all your heart, with the honor that is due to the Word of the Lord. And I know we can do it. You know how? I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. They played Thursday night. There was a blizzard. And I saw guys in the dog pound there with no shirts on. And Nacho Libre masks, giving it all they got.
Wait a minute.
And I think to myself, if we can do that for football, we can give all our all for God, right? Okay, so when it comes to reading those, I'm going to ask you to read it out. And the theme today, with the holiday coming up, is Thanksgiving.
All right.
Thanksgiving, having a thankful heart. Colossians 3:15, Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Be thankful. I think about being thankful, and I think about a story that Michael Green took the time to write down and pass on to us. It's a story of an imaginary day when the sun did not rise in the morning. People went out and looked at 6 a.m., no light on the horizon. 7, 8 a.m., no sun. Got to lunchtime, and noon was as dark as midnight. The dark hours of the afternoon passed on and got into the evening and nighttime, but no one slept that night. Many cried in anguish, looking up, crying out to God. Churches were full of people down on their knees, crying out to God for His mercy. The long night passed, and many anxious eyes looked to the east, and as that sky began to turn crimson red, many lips were full of vibrant praise as that sun came out again, saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And he used that story to make a point. He said, the very consistency of God's blessings sometimes dulls our thankfulness for them. That ever happened to you? His blessings are so regular and so faithful, we just take them for granted. And this morning, we want to aim to sharpen, encourage our thankfulness for His blessings. I want to start by talking about thanking the Father for His faithfulness. His faithfulness. Whether it's that daily sunrise, the beauty of the changing leaves, if you enjoy hiking this time of year like we do, a roof over your head, 3 good meals every day, family and friends that love you, God's Word on your shelf and in your hands, hopefully in your heart. Maybe even just the simple fact that you woke up this morning. You woke up this morning. I woke up this morning. You say, yeah, Scott, but you don't know the trial I'm going through. And I may not know them all. But I've been reading about a man named Job in my quiet time. That book never gets old to me. You think about everything that man went through. his herds, his livelihood gone, his servants gone, and then, worst of all, his 10 children gone. And I read of Job saying things like this in Job 1:21, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I hear him saying in Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him." And it's as though God anticipated our buts. I know you say, "Thank you, but. You read the book of Job and all those buts are gone. Right? And you say, "Help me be thankful in my trials. What can I hold on to when it's so hard in my life?" I'll give you two as a believer in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:5. He has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Whatever you're going through today, believer, he is there with you. Faithfully with you. Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. So I want to invite you to read with me. You read the white parts, I'll read the turquoise parts from Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him, bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
And his faithfulness to all generations."
Now I invite you just one-on-one to spend some time thanking the Father for his faithfulness. Next, just having come out of the book of Proverbs, I thought it'd be fitting to take a moment to ponder this idea, to thank the Father for his wisdom. Wisdom for living. That he didn't leave us here just wandering, groping in the dark. He's a God who communicates his wisdom. You remember back at the beginning of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, it said, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction." But one of my favorite things about the wisdom that we learn from God in this book is that it's not just like a quiz in school. Lock it away in my mind and put it on the paper. It's relational. It's always relational with God. Remember 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." That's not just head knowledge. That's an experiential relationship with God. That's where the wisdom comes from. Or how about Proverbs 3:5? "Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight." It's relational. What a special thing for the believer. And you think back at all the areas of life that we've touched on in there. Just a few. Guarding your heart. walking in humility, controlling your anger, loving your neighbor, choosing your friends wisely, maximizing your marriage and your parenting, wisdom with alcohol, work and money, and so much more. And I wonder, as you sit here this morning, if you've been with us, what part of God's wisdom in Proverbs blessed you the most? What part did you take from His Word and put into action during this series? And I'd encourage you, that'd be a great topic of conversation at your tables later. Maybe one of you be bold enough to say, you know what blessed me from God's wisdom in Proverbs? It was this. And share it. For me, I'll just share a couple that jumped out at me. The great power that resides in my tongue and in your tongue. I don't think I'll ever forget that. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of our tongues. The other one for me that jumped out was the wisdom of contentment. In that crazy, crazy prayer we read last week, Proverbs 30, verse 8, remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Some translations say, just what I need, my daily bread. Why? Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Thank God for His wisdom. I want to encourage you, just because we're done here on Sundays doesn't mean you have to be done with the book of Proverbs. It's 31 chapters, which has led a lot of people to say, you know what, I'm going to read one every day of the month. Just follow the day of the month and I'm going to go through and keep full of that. And know that as a believer, anytime you're at that moment where you lack wisdom, and I'm there often, that's a prayer your Father loves to answer. He loves to answer that prayer. Remember James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. There's one condition. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. But you come as a believer in faith and ask him for wisdom. The promise is he will give it to you generously. So with that in mind, I invite you into another reading of thanksgiving from Psalm 105. I'll give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name.
Make known his deeds among the people.
Sing to him, sing praises to him.
Tell of his wondrous works.
Amen. I want to give you a moment just to thank God for his wisdom in your life. Next, I want to remind us and invite us to, above all, thank the Father for Jesus Christ. Thank Him for Jesus Christ. I think about something Paul wrote to a man he was mentoring, Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:15, he says, "From childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings." What sacred writings? The Old Testament. The Old Testament. He says, "Timothy, from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation." Wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And what I'm going at here is the ultimate wisdom shows us that we cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own. We all fall short of the glory of God. We need a Savior. Even the Old Testament will lead you there. How many of us going through the book of Proverbs felt the prick of the Holy Spirit? Oh, you fall short there. You fall short there. Follow that to the Savior. Because Jesus said in Matthew 12:42 of Himself, "Behold, something greater than Solomon is here." Only Christ perfectly lived out God's wisdom. Then He died for my sins and yours, and rose again for our victory. John 3:16. We hear it a lot, but I want to zoom in on one word. "For God so, it's talking about the measure of His love. What is the measure of His love? "God so loved the world, He gave His only Son." The cross. You want to know if God loves you? Look at the cross. Listen, the Father doesn't love you because Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross because the Father loves you. Don't get it messed up. The Father loves you. Christ loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. That whoever believes in Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. And what do we often think of when we think of salvation? We thank Him rightfully that we're saved from the lake of fire for all eternity, right? And that we're going to spend forever with God in the new heaven and the new earth. We should praise Him for that, but don't forget the essence of eternal life is that moment-by-moment relationship with God that you have right now through Jesus Christ. And that every morning you wake up, His mercies are new. His mercies are new. But I think about this, and I want to make sure we're clear coming out of Proverbs. Walking in wisdom for us is not done in our own power to somehow earn or keep our salvation. Okay, that's not the application. Walking in wisdom for the believer is done in His power, in the power of the Holy Spirit, whom He has sent, out of gratitude that He saved us, that He said on that cross, "It is finished. It's finished. It's paid for." I think about that. I'm going to paraphrase a new friend of mine. We met at Chick-fil-A. A lot of good stuff from God happens at Chick-fil-A. We were talking there the other day, and he blessed my heart. We're just talking about life, and he says, "You know what? I don't obey God because somehow I'm afraid He's going to strip my salvation away. I know Christ paid for my sins. I know it's secure in Him." He said, "You want to know why I obey God? Because I love Him. And I want to walk in close fellowship with Him." That's it. Why do you obey God? Why do you obey God? I think about the blessing of Jesus Christ and how we dare not ever take Him for granted. I think about something one author wrote. I just want you to take this in. He said, most men can see the hand of God in the dispensations of his justice, and yet these very seldom appear. How is it that they cannot equally see God's hand in the dispensations of his mercy, which are great, striking, and unremitting? Our afflictions we scarcely ever forget. Our mercies we scarcely ever remember. Our hearts are alive to complaint, but dead to gratitude. We have had 10,000 mercies for one judgment, and yet our complaints to our thanksgivings have been 10,000 to one. How is it that God endures this and bears with us? Ask the mediator before the throne. The mystery of our preservation and salvation can be there alone explained. Makes me ask the question, how's the ratio of my complaints to my thanksgivings? Now I invite you to read with me. Again, you guys read the white parts. Romans 7, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?
Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Next one. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood.
Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured.
For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come.
Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God.
That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And one more. Thanks be to God
for his inexpressible gift.
I invite you to spend a moment with the Father, just thanking him for the priceless gift of Jesus Christ. Truth about thanksgiving is an important word. It's the last word. Thank the Father always. Always. We see this numerous times in the Bible. Not sometimes, always. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We spend a lot of time wondering, what's the will of God? There's one clear answer: to give thanks in all circumstances. Ephesians 5:20 is even more direct. That giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think about that, and I think about a little boy I read about. His mom had prepared one of the meals he wasn't a big fan of, and mom asked him to pray for the meal. And the little guy prayed. He said, "Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but thank you, and I'll eat it anyway." Give thanks always. Give thanks always. As we close this morning and then prepare our hearts for communion, I invite you into one more reading. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Your steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
Your steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
Your steadfast love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Father, we do praise you this morning. We praise you for your faithfulness. We praise you for your wisdom, for Jesus Christ. And by your Holy Spirit, may we be a church who praises and thanks you always. Lord, we thank you above all for your Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I pray especially for any in the room who came in trying on their own but realizing they fall short. Bring them to the cross where the Lamb spilled his blood for their sins and mine. Draw them by your Spirit to receive Christ as their Savior, their Lord, and find victory in his death and resurrection. Or for those of us who are believers, by your Holy Spirit, if you're pointing out a lack of gratitude in our lives, help us lay it down right now. Say, "Father, I'm sorry. I've gotten way off base. I've gotten focused on all that's wrong and forgotten about all that's right. Thank you for your grace and mercy to start again in gratitude. May that be a light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen."
Amen.